author and journalist Jancy Dunn wants to approach the conversation about menopause in a new way. It may not affect you directly, but it certainly affects someone in your life directly. Using research from scientific studies and personal testimonials, Dunn wrote the book Hot and Bothered. She made sure to add a comical element to the storytelling and myth busting about menopause culture shifts. Tia Graham is here in studio to tell us more. Hey, Tia.
Hello, Ryan. Thank you so much. Dunn authored 9 books and all have been on the New York Times bestselling list. Her last book, How Not to Hate Your Husband After Kids, which was published in 12 languages, was also a part of that New York Times bestselling list. She's a frequent contributor to Vogue, The New York Times, and Health. Jancy Dunn, thank you so much for joining the show.
My pleasure. And I'm so happy that you're doing something on this subject. It just makes me feel so good.
Awesome. No, I'm a woman. I have women around me, all nieces, nephews, aunts, you know, mom, so many different people around me, so many women around me. And I see what's happening and I see some of the things that are going on, excuse me, and the lack of conversation there. So when we talk about menstruating women from all around the world, from all different places and spaces, they dread the change. Talk about why you decided to write this book and why it was so important.
Okay. I've written about health for 20 years, and I thought I knew my stuff. And then when I started going through perimenopause, I was 45. I didn't even know that perimenopause, peri means around, so it's like the time leading up to menopause. I didn't even know that it occurs most commonly in your 40s. I'm like, oh, menopause, that's for older ladies.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't think about it, right? And at the time, when I was 45, I had a toddler. I was taking care of my older parents. I had a kid running around. I was in, like, you know, Elmo land. I wasn't thinking about menopause. And so I had all these symptoms and I didn't connect. You know, there's at least 34 symptoms.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets them. Some people get no symptoms, but I wasn't connecting the dots because I didn't know about the symptoms. So if you don't know about them, you can't figure out that it's a pattern like, oh, okay, this is something bigger. It's perimenopause. Yeah. So I was like running to the doctor. Why is my heart racing? I thought, you know, here comes the big one. I'm going to get a heart attack. And I just didn't know, and neither did my doctors. And so I thought, okay, if I don't know and I'm immersed in research all day long, then what about everybody else? And there's such a cultural taboo against talking about it, right? And so then just to make sure, I mean, I remember like a few years ago, I thought maybe I should do a menopause book because my books reflect my life. And
yeah.
And nobody was interested, but now this time they were. And I thought, okay, things are shifting. I remember going to the library and being like, are there any menopause books? There was acres of books about having a baby. Everything you could do about what to expect when you're expecting, nothing about what to expect when you're no longer expecting. There was one book and it was from like the 1990s and all the information was outdated. And I thought, you're in menopause for a long time. You enter, you don't come out. So you could be there for 30 years and there's no books on it. What?
That was one of my questions to you, was how many books did you see before you wrote this one that really made you say, I have to do this?
There's not much out there. There's Jen Gunter's book, The Menopause Manifesto, but there's just not a lot. And women are hungering for information. We don't talk about it. We don't know the symptoms. We don't know what kind of treatments there are. And so I thought, okay, I'll put out some information. And even in the short amount of time, like I started writing it 2 years ago, things have changed already. Like, even the fact that like celebrities are talking about it now, granted, sometimes they have like products to push for menopause, but so what? They're still talking about it. Like, it makes other people be more encouraged to talk about it. And so I'm glad about that. It seems like it's maybe having a little bit of a moment now, which is great.
I know, but excuse me, it's allergy season. We're all coughing around here, taking Zyrtec and all. So I was thinking, exactly. I was thinking about, and I talk often to people around the office and the station, and we talk about the cultural change that we're seeing and seeing older actors be lead characters on TV shows and movies now. And I think it's important that that cultural shift also comes with those different dynamics and conversations. So if you could talk about what we're seeing in society that's leading and pushing this these conversations like about menopause forward.
Okay, I think it's a couple of things. One is that younger generations, I'm in Generation X, but younger generations are more transparent in general about everything that's going on with their bodies. I love that they're all talking about menstruation and there's period talk and talking about body positivity. And I feel like their transparency and their willingness not to have any taboos around stuff is filtering up to us. I really do like us, meaning my generation, which is Generation X. And number two, celebrities talking about it. They still have a lot of power, and that gives other people a doorway to talk about it too. And also, this is a funny one, but like even marketers have woken up to the fact that women have a bunch of symptoms and they have no solutions. So all of a sudden there's all these products that are available. And I used to write about health and beauty and all kinds of things for Vogue magazine. I started getting all these products for menopause that were like really beautiful, ones you could display, not ones you could hide away with like the hemorrhoid cream in a drawer, like ones that you were, and it was display worthy with like nice glass and, you know, like a rose gold cap. And I just thought, they are sensing the money. And that's fine. You know, like whatever works, as long as when I was growing up, menopause products had like a sunset on them. Like, why not a grave or like three dead leaves, you know, just to let you know that you're like, you know, the end of life is coming. And so there's that. And then also for the first time in the past couple of years, there are more female med school graduates than male. And that'll be their lived experience, menopause eventually, right? It's half the population. And I think that'll help too, because right now it's, you know, right now in med school, you get an average, there was this famous study of 1 year, 1 hour of menopause training, an hour for something that lasts, you know, for a really long time. So that's a part of it too.
So, you know, as we were talking, we hinted on the generational differences just a little bit. I know, especially in my generation, millennial generation, I listen to Gen Zs as well. And we often talk about just not being embarrassed about our bodies, not being ashamed of our bodies, mm-hmm. especially as women. Talk about, you know, when you were starting to write your book, you had the conversation with your mom. And that was the first time you actually spoke to your 80-year-old mom about menopause is when you started to write your book. So, where, you know, bringing that home and bringing that generational differences together, where do you think we can start bridging these gaps?
It really is about normalizing this transition. And it's about talking about it as much as you can. I mean, sometimes I read these articles like, oh, speak up at work when you're having a hot flush. That's easier said than done. Like a lot of women, you know, they're in some room with a bunch of 22-year-old guys and it's not going to happen. And I do understand that. But like, as much as you're able to have these conversations. I mean, you're right. I'd never talked about menopause with my mother. I had no idea what her experience was. And I only did when I started writing this book. I didn't know anything. And we talk about a lot. I'm very close with her. And I can remember when I was a teenager, just thinking she was, you know, complaining all the time and crabby. And it was because she had severe hot flashes and I didn't know, you know? And so the more you can talk about it, not only because, like if you have like older aunts, if your mother isn't there, if your mother's no longer living, or like anybody that you could talk to that went through their menopause transition, that's also good medical information for you to have if you're younger. Like when did they go through it? Did they have brittle bones? Like how long were their perimenopause symptoms? It sometimes takes a while. My mother she couldn't remember any of it. She just like suppressed it. I'm like, Mom, who was president? How old were we? You know, the kids, like, and I finally figured it out. But the more you can talk about it, it's hard at first. And normalize it with your friends, with whomever you can feel comfortable talking about it, like your mom, your friends, your sisters, your cousins, anybody. The more we do this at a grassroots level, the more normal it is. I mean, I have a kid who's 14, she just turned 14, and I talk about it too much with her. She rolls her eyes, but like, then by the time she goes through menopause, it won't be this scary thing that nobody knows anything about. It'll be a normal transition. It'll be like, oh, well, it is what it is. I have menopause. Like, because part of the problem is the shock of the symptoms. You don't know what they are. You're freaked out by them. You don't know that there are a lot of these symptoms can be treated. You have no idea what the treatments are. So you remove this, the unknown, the surprise, the lack of information, and then we move forward. So my long, long answer, sorry, is just talk about it with as many people as you can. And it can be hard at first. There's you know, all kinds of taboos around it. But now I don't shut up about it. And I find that people are really, if I share my symptoms first, they jump in and they start talking about it too. And that's how we do it.
Jancy, you made a great point with the unknown. You know, I think there's a shift with Tia's point in terms of how generations are approaching these topics, their willingness to be open with one another or family members. But there's also the unknown of the gender spectrum, right? You know, I see these videos where men are asked questions about women on their periods or how a tampon works, and they're clueless. They have no idea. Yeah. And some of these answers are so startling. You could look at a lot of the roots of the issue, right? I don't want to make fun of people for not knowing this stuff, because if you look at sex education in the United States, it's pathetic. So what do you expect these people in their early 20s to really know about some of that stuff? But I'm curious, have you looked at the numbers of men understanding what menopause is to begin with?
That's such a great question. And I have delved into research about menopause awareness among men, and it doesn't exist that I could find. And I really looked because I wanted to use it in my book. And again, not to knock men, I was clueless. I didn't know what the symptoms were. So how are they supposed to know? You know, and like, if you were to go out on the street and say, what is perimenopause? People of all genders would be like, huh, I don't know. You know, it's still auto-corrected on my old computer. It's a spell check. So it's not in the culture even as a legitimate word, even though it does exist. So yeah, I mean, one message in my book is, if, you know, I didn't tell my husband about it and that I was going through this, and I realized I was like perpetuating that shame and that stigma. Like, why am I keeping quiet about it? And so I suggest, you know, if you have a man in your life or a boy, you know, it would be so great. Like in the UK, the health education for kids, they include menopause education. Can you imagine them doing that here? It just seems inconceivable to me. But like, yeah, share your symptoms, tell them what's going on in very clear language. You don't have to get into the weeds of all the physiological changes. Just be like, what I suggest is saying, you know, puberty is when you have a lot of hormones entering your body and causing chaos. Menopause is the hormones are leaving your body and causing chaos, you know, and here's what's going on with my body. Say it up front. Because I was like hiding stuff from my husband, including that sex really hurt. That doesn't help our relationship. And when does keeping quiet and hiding things and suppressing things ever work out, right? Mm-hmm. And so I told him what was going on. He's aging too. So I said, here's what's happening. And so when I'm like screaming swear words at my pants because I can't get my pants up because I had some menopausal weight gain, like, just be patient with me. And sex is going to be a little more involved now for, you know, various reasons. Just be patient with me. And so now he knows. And after I talked about it, it was okay. It was like, okay, I got it out. Now he knows what's going on with me. Now he can help. If I'm having a mood swing, he can run away. You know, it's because things aren't happening on a policy level or an education level or in medicine where, you know, women's issues seem to fall off a cliff after pregnancy, then we have to do it from a grassroots level, and hopefully it'll filter outward.
We are joined right now by author and journalist Jancy Dunn. Dunn wrote the book Hot and Bothered. As we continue the conversation, you know, we've hit a lot of points here, but we have not quite dug into the myths just yet. So if you could run down the list of myths that are out there right now, things that are literally unknown that we should know, just basic knowledge and information.
Okay, perimenopause. Again, around menopause, it typically happens in your 40s. Not when you're one of the golden girls, when you're in your 40s, early 40s, mid 40s. So symptoms start appearing then, and often it's hot flashes and night sweats and irregular periods. I wrote in the book, I skipped three periods, and I was, again, 45 at the time. I had a toddler, and I thought, oh, I skipped periods. I think I'm pregnant. I remember shaking my husband awake. It was like 5 in the morning because I couldn't sleep, one of my symptoms. And I'm like, oh, crap. And I said, listen, we have to have a conversation, which is maybe not the best way to do it. And so we went through this whole thing like, okay, if I'm pregnant, we always would just wanted one kid, but okay, all right, we can do this. We'll just have to take out a loan. We went through this intense conversation. And then I found out, oh, I wasn't pregnant. I was perimenopausal. And that's one of the symptoms, is these, you know, crazy erratic periods. So, so one of the myths is that it happens to older ladies. It doesn't. It starts in your 40s. And another one is that you'll always get symptoms. A lot of people don't. Every expert I interviewed said, just tell your readers, like, not everybody gets symptoms. It isn't always this hellish, like, you know, being roasted by hot flashes. Some people don't get any symptoms. Some people get mild symptoms. And another myth is that you have to live with it. I can't stand this. It makes me so sad thinking of my mother and other older relatives, like, just gritting through it for years and years. You don't have to live with it. You can get treatments for a lot of this stuff. If you have health insurance, you know, I know not everybody does, but like, the onus is on you to find the treatments, but talk to your doctor. And another is that you have to stay with your same OBGYN your whole life. If they don't have menopause training, even if they delivered your babies, move on to somebody who understands you. Of course, don't talk to anyone who gaslights you. And that that you have to keep quiet about it. I mean, I just can't say enough to talk about it as much as you're able, so that we normalize it.
And what does gaslighting look like, that, especially in the medical field? What would that look like for women if they're walking in or asking questions or trying to understand a little bit more? What would that look like?
Great question. It would just be, you know, I mean, will they devote the time to you? I always tell people menopause is a big transition, and it can be, again, over decades. So can you get a separate appointment, maybe like a tele appointment, or like, can you get a separate one just to talk about menopause? If they say no, maybe move on. Ask them if they have any training on menopause. You know, they're compelled to tell you the truth. And if they minimize your symptoms, this is such a big one. If they say, oh, hot flashes, it's no big deal. I cannot tell you how many women I interviewed who would say that their doctors would say, just have a glass of wine. Somehow a glass of wine for like painful sex, for your, you know, your headaches, for your waning libido, for your irregular period. Somehow a glass of wine was, or yoga, everybody with the yoga. Yoga's great. There's a lot of good research on it, but it's not a cure-all. And so if they're not taking your symptoms seriously, because they can ruin your life. Like, some people have really severe hot flashes and they don't sleep for like a year at a time. Well, that can impact your health in really severe ways, you know, heart problems and brain problems and diabetes. So, you know, it's a quality of life issue. And if the quality of your life is in the toilet, you owe it to yourself to see a doctor, and one who hears you and one who is going to take your symptoms seriously.
Author and journalist Jancy Dunn wrote the book Hot and Bothered, out right now. She made sure to add that comical element to this storytelling and myth busting about menopause. I want to say thank you so much for joining us on Culture Shift this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy you're talking about this. I loved your questions, and this is just such important work. So thank you so much.